Well, you know what? Today, I'm free. I want my rights. What are you laughing? I'm free. I want my rights. Right? Do you want your rights? We all want our rights, huh? When you look today, and you look at what you're hearing on the news, and when you look at what you see around us, and when you look at everything that's happening, it's all about rights. It's all about rights. This morning we're going to talk about is, what are our rights? What are our rights? I told you I was going to give you a history lesson. Now, I am going to give you a little bit of history lesson because I don't think enough of us really understand the whole concept behind all this stuff. Why do we celebrate July 4th? We forgot already. Why do we celebrate July 4th? Independence from Great Britain. Why? Okay. Yeah. Have you ever read the Declaration of Independence and really looked at all the things that they accused the King of England of doing? There's a whole list of things in that, but you know, taxation without representation, being found guilty of charges without having a fair and just trial, all kinds of things. Well, there had been a battle been going on between the 13 colonies and Great Britain for about a year, and they had asked Thomas Jefferson to start to draw up this declaration. Now, I want you to know, Declaration of Independence is only in the title. That term never is found in that document. Okay, but they asked Thomas Jefferson to draw this up, and he drew it up, and on July 2nd of 1776, the Second Continental Congress in Philadelphia got together, and they voted unanimously to accept this declaration. The reason we celebrate July 4th is because that is when they formally signed, because they had some minor corrections and they had some written things, but they formally signed the document, the Declaration of Independence, on July 4th. And that's the reason we celebrate Independence Day. But as a history of our country, when you look at that, they said that we wanted the freedom, and we wanted freedom to have the rights. Now, I looked up the definition of freedom, and it's the quality or state of being free. Yeah, that sounds like a Joanne answer, you know? Well, I asked in class this morning what was obedience, and she said it means to obey. Right? Freedom, the quality or state of being free. The absence of necessity, coercion, or constraint in choice or action. Okay? The absence of necessity, coercion, or constraint in choice or action. So what's that mean? I have my rights. I have my rights. That's what it means, right? Okay. I'm glad you all agree like that because, see, my rights are probably a little different than your rights. But that's okay because you just agreed that you're going to have my rights. Isn't that what we agreed to, huh? Well, on July 4th, and I'm going to read one little portion of the Declaration of Independence to you. I told you, I do have it all. And I even have everybody that signed it, too. You know, I do like this kind of stuff. I like, you know, the history of our country and stuff like that. But I want to read this to you. It says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted from among men, deriving their powers from the consent of the men governed." Our government runs under the consent of the people. Oh, not anymore. See, I want you to understand that this was our Declaration of Independence, and that's what it said, was that those rights were not to be usurped by the government. Those rights were given to us and not to be usurped by the government. Now, In the Constitution, we know we have the first 10 are called what? The Bill of Rights. And that tells you everything you're allowed to do as an American, right? It just says a few things. But the very first one says that Congress should not say that the nation has only one religion or to tell the people they cannot practice a religion of their choice. It should not tell people what to say, what to write in the press. It should not tell people they can get together to protest peacefully and to write government to complain about a decision that has been made. Okay? The right, number two, the right for government to organize an army and for individual citizens to own and use guns should not be taken away. And it goes through this Bill of Rights. But I want you to understand, if you notice there, it says that the government should not, what? Interfere. They should not tell you about religion. They should not tell you what to say or what to write. And that's today is what you see is happening by our government. The liberal government is telling people you have to accept political correctness, even though our Constitution says no, everybody has the right to believe and accept the way they want to believe, but the government should not tell us what to do. That's your history lesson this morning. Hopefully I didn't bore you too much. You know, but I really think, you know, our country is an amazing country. And, you know, we look at the things that happen in our country, and we look at the people and all the years that we've been a country. And God has blessed America. Okay? God has blessed America. Part of that blessing, I believe, is due to the fact that we started a country with some basic beliefs. Part of it is we have always supported Israel, which is God's chosen people. But I think part of God's blessing is out of His Word. It's out of His Word. If you look at 1 Peter 2, and got it there? 1 Peter 2, 13 through 20. I want you to see what God tells us is our freedom. Because, see, we sometimes have a mistake there. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to the governor as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear the God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor if, for the sake of consciousness toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience, but if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it? This finds favor with God. I want to tell you this morning that I believe freedom is not about my rights. You know? We as a country, we as a people, we as Christians often think freedom is about our rights. It's not. Freedom is not about our rights. Freedom is not the right to do what I want. That's not what freedom is defined in our Constitution. That's not what freedom is defined in the Bible. What God says here is freedom is the right to do right. Freedom is the right to do right. And He tells us in this particular passage that not only that we are to do right, but we are to do right when everybody else is doing wrong. We are to do right. And what is right? Psalm 119 says, in Psalms, there's two statements in Psalm 119 that I want you to hear. One is found in verse 32. I run in the paths of your commands, for you have set my heart free. And the second one is in verse 45. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precept. Your heart is set free, and you walk in freedom because you seek out the Word of God. Those are our rights. Those are our rights as Christians. That we have a heart that can be set free and we can walk in freedom because we're seeking out the precepts of God. When you look at freedom in the Bible, and there's so many times we see freedom, and Galatians 5:13 says, "For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but turn it into an opportunity to love and serve one another." See, the Bible tells us that our right is to do right, not to do what I want. And we constantly get caught up in doing what I want. Now, when you look back at that, and you start off with the Constitution, and it starts off, "We the people." You know, "We the people." Are the people different today than they were in 1776? In some senses, yes. In some senses, no. They're still a human creation of God, right? They're still sinners. They don't dress the same. Could you imagine all of us in those little white wigs with hair down and sitting here like they used to put on? Huh? I just could not imagine myself sitting in one of those white wigs down, you know, with all those curly locks and being comfortable. Isn't that how they used to do things? You know? But see, understand that freedom was that Christ set us free to do right. And therefore that we should stand firm and not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Freedom is the right to do right. So when you think about that, are we free? Well, what's that mean to us? Life is full of warnings. You ever have a warning? Some of you probably aren't as stupid as I am, maybe I'll say. I always, when I'm doing something that I'm not 100% totally familiar with, I read the directions. And the directions always come with warnings. You know? Such like, "Do not stick your finger in the fan of the blade, for you may get cut." Duh! Right? Do you ever read some of those instructions and read some of the stupid warnings that are on instructions? Some of the warnings are just like, you read this, you know, and being in quality all my life the way I was and stuff, that every time we had a complaint, especially we made medical products, and every time we had a complaint on medical products, we had to go back and look and say, is there a way that this could have been, you know, resolved? It's sometimes you have to change some things, you know. You have to make what they, packaging and things called idiot proof. Okay? Idiot proof. Because people will find a way to do something stupid even if it doesn't make sense, does it? And that's why they put all these stupid warnings on. And if you don't read the instructions, read them someday, because you'll get to laugh. Because they tell you all these stupid warnings. Life is full of warnings. And what are warnings? They tell us what we can't do. What we can't do. Do warnings normally tell you, go to the edge? Yeah. You know, do not climb over the railing, for you may fall into the Niagara Falls. Fast water running, you will get swept away if you go in. I mean, you know, that, young boy, and I just use this, but I don't want you to take it wrongly. The young boy that was attacked and killed in Florida by the gator at Disney World. Okay? Anybody ever been to Florida? Have you ever seen a gator? Where? Anywhere there's water, there's a chance there's a gator, huh? Yeah, I mean, I was amazed at times when you drive down, first time I went to Florida, and you're driving down the road, okay? And there's a gator coming across the road. It's like rabbits up here, or deer, you know? And if there's water, there's typically gators. Disney put up signs now. Don't go into the water because there are chances that there are gators in the water. Okay. Warnings. Warnings. Sometimes they don't make sense. You know? But isn't life full of warnings? I remember when I was a kid. Don't touch the stove, you might get burnt. Isn't that the way you learn? Huh? How many of you touch the stove twice? Huh? You're slow learners, huh? Really? You know, do you got to do it twice to understand what it does? How many of you have ever worked on electricity and you didn't shut it off when you're working on it and you got a little buzz? Huh? Now, how many of you shut off the electricity to work on it now? Huh? You know? I was working on something here in my bathroom, and I knew I had disconnected the wires and put wire nuts on the wires and stuff, and I turned the electricity back on. I was working on it another day down the road. You know, I didn't turn it off because I'd put wire nuts on it. Well, you know, in the dark, when you're putting wire nuts on things, you may not hit the right wires. Now, if you're smart, you'd put a wire nut on everything, right? But you know what? When you don't touch the electricity and you're sitting up a ladder, on top of a ladder, and you grab the wire that's got hot, it doesn't take you long to realize that you shut the electricity off. I don't need a warning sign that says, shut electricity off before you work on it. Now, some people can do that, okay? I prefer not to. I like to shut it off. Just for the fact that, you know, sometimes something happens. We live in a culture that is full of warnings and constraints. But the Psalm 119 says, I run in the path of your commands because my heart is free. Freedom from what? Freedom from sin, freedom from slavery to the world, freedom from all those things. Our culture today, unfortunately, defines freedom as being outside of the cultures of religion. You know, if you look at it today, pretty much most of the freedoms that everybody's fighting for is outside the culture of religion, at least outside the culture of Christianity. But a lot of it's outside other religions, too. Okay, some of the things that they're looking at. And we constantly are being battered by, you can't do this, you know. You own your own business. I'm in here, own your own business. Anybody here own their own business and you have to wait on the public? Or maybe you don't own it, but you wait on the public. Are you constrained by your company to what you can say and what you can do because of the rights of others? Okay, understand, freedom is not the right to do what I want, but the right to do what's right. And so that is what we have to be looking at, is what truly are we looking at from the word freedom? To the Jews, freedom was what? Found in the law. Right? That's what they did. And so constantly the Jews and the Christians battled. Because why? Those dumb Christians, they're not following the law. You know? They're doing wrong because they're not following the law. But see, that was their aspect of freedom. And we all run out of an aspect of freedom. And God's aspect of freedom is you have the freedom to obey God. We talked this morning a little bit. We were talking about obedience. And that. Do you realize that obedience is a gift from God? You realize that? Obedience is a gift from God. Because the Word of God says obedience leads to righteousness. And righteousness comes from God. So obedience is a gift to us in order for us to be more like Him. You know? We talked about why we obeyed our parents. Some obeyed because of fear. Some obeyed because of respect. Some obeyed because of love. But God says obedience to Him and His Word leads us to righteousness. If we recognize that our obedience is truly a gift from God, that we might be more like God, would it be a lot easier for us to obey? Now remember what I said. Freedom is the right to do what's right. So what's right? Nothing that's left, right? Now what is right under God's sight? And God made it pretty simple for us, didn't He? He says we have to follow Him. Scripture says if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Do we act like it? Or do we still act like we're constrained by certain aspects of religion? See, that's the problem that we live with, is that we are constantly being and we are being judged, and we are judging based not on the right to do right, which is freedom through Christ, but based on what we want as our rights. I want this, so that's the way it should be. You know, I want to do this, that should be okay, because I am free, so I have my rights, and I want to do what I want to do. Anybody ever live it like that? You want to do, huh? We face it. If you have kids, you face that every day, don't you? Huh? They want to do what they want to do. And we as adults are the same way. We want to do what we want to do. I don't feel like doing it today. I don't want to do it. Is it right? Not if that's what God wants us to do. Because see, God says we are free to obey Him. We are free to live for Him. When you look at this whole text here, it says we are free, yet we're still being submission to the government. Yeah, but God, you don't understand our government. Is our government any different than any other government in history? Huh? Do you think the Roman government was a godly government? Huh? It wasn't a godly government. Do you think the Babylonian government was a godly government? It's no different than it was over history. God still says, until He's ready to set us free, we are to be in subjection to the government. I know I don't like that. I read that scripture and I read it again and I read it again and I said, yeah, but what if Hillary Clinton gets elected as president? Do I have to be subject to her? What's God say? Until I change it, yes. Now, I still have the right to do what's right. What's right. And so I may not agree with everything she does, but the Word of God here tells me that I have to do that. I have to be submissive to my master. If my boss tells me to do something when I'm working, do I say, no, I'm not going to do that? Why do you listen to your boss? Those of you that still work, a lot of you are like me. You don't have to. You become your own boss now. You're retired. Why do you listen to your boss? To keep your job. Huh? Respect. See, you don't listen to your boss because you love them. You know, but you have respect for the position. Isn't that what God says is right? See, when you start looking at the freedom to do what's right, there's a lot of things in God's Word that leads us as individuals every day. We have the freedom to do what's right. We often forget what happens around us. We fear the unknown. We fear things that we don't understand. And we become enslaved to those things because of fear. And God says, I want to drive away that fear. We sang that song this morning, right? I don't have to have fear. Why? What was that? I am a child of God. If you're a child of God, you don't have to be enslaved to fear. Now, is there a difference in being frightened and fear? Huh? Fear drives you. Somebody walks up behind you in a dark alley and goes, ah, and screams at you, you jump, right? How many here jump when they're surprised? You know? You might be frightened, but that isn't fear. See, fear is a constant that drives you. And so when we fear things, God says that fear, it stops us from doing what is right. We can be free from fear. We don't have to fear the world. We don't have to fear Satan. Does that mean Satan's no longer going to be there and no longer going to touch us and no longer going to have impact? Nah. He's there. You think Satan's not sitting right here in the front pew? He's not. He's sitting right beside every one of you. Because he wants to distract us. You thought I saw something that you didn't, or what, you know? Fear. So, freedom is found in careful obedience to God's word. We walk in freedom, for we seek out God's word. The inner peace it gives us from God's word is tremendous. Go back and think about Adam and Eve. They had it all. Right? And what was the one thing that hurt them? Disobedience, huh? What was one thing God told them? Yeah, this is what I like, you know. I love this statement. God says, hey, I just created all this stuff, all these animals, everything. Just enjoy yourself. Don't touch that one. And what did they do? Did they have freedom? If they had obeyed God, was there a life of freedom? Sure, because God had given them everything. And they said, and they didn't listen. How would you like to have that job that Adam and Eve had? Anybody here like to have that job? Sit around, enjoy life, no stress, no strain, no pain. None of you want that job. Dave back there says, I would. Hey, I mean, think about it. They had God created this until their disobedience. Did they have to work for what they got? God says, I give you my blessing. Your obedience leads to righteousness. I give you my blessing because you're free. Freedom is submitting willingly to the Word of God. The Word of God, not the Word of man. Okay, the Word of God. So you have to be part and you have to be working on that. If you look over history of time, This country was what we call built on freedom. Today we still have freedom. I'm not saying it won't be taken away from you here in this country someday. But we still have freedom to walk in the precepts of God. They're trying to eliminate a lot of that. They're trying to change a lot of that. But we are free to walk in the precepts of God. And that's what we have to do. We have to do what's right. Bombing abortion clinics and things like that, that's not what God wants us to be focused on. You know what he wants us to focus on? You know, abortion, I hate abortion. We all, if you love God, you can't support that. But the thing is, do I have the right to impose what I believe on someone else? I have one right, to obey God and to share the love of God with them. How are we going to win these people without sharing the love of God? If we don't love them, who will? You think all the people that are creating all the havoc love them? You know, I listened to that Attorney General of the United States after the Orlando thing. We as Christians, we don't support all the gay activist stuff. We know that's biblically incorrect. We don't support that. Do we love those people? You have to. God says we have to love everybody. No matter what, we have to love them. Do you pray for families that have lost people? Sure, if you really love people, you're praying for those others. But when that attorney general stood up and said, "Oh, in order to win these terrorists, we have to love them." You know what? That's not going to win a terrorist. They don't care if you love them or not, as far as love goes. To win terrorists, we got to share the grace of God with them. That's the only thing that's going to happen. We got to tell them that here's what God's word says. And see, all these things that are happening today, I think are part of what God's, well, I know they're part of God's plan. I think they're part of what God's plan for us is, though, is because the one thing that Christians today haven't done well is love through God's love. We still have a tendency to love through our own eyes and our own wants and our own rights and what we think is right. There are certain things the Bible says this is the way it is. And if you're, you know, doing that, we are to approach those people and we're to tell them that what you're doing is outside of God's will. But does the Bible ever say that we quit loving them? With God's love? No. We have to love. When you look back, there was a civil war in this country. What was the civil war fought over? Anybody know? Huh? Slavery. Freedom. Because what? Was it the fact of slavery? Or was it the fact of how slaves are being treated? What did the North say? Did Northern people have slaves? Yeah. You think it was fought over? They had slaves. A lot of these people that fought in the war had slaves. But did the Northern people say the slaves had some rights to be treated humanely? I mean, think about it. We don't have per se slavery today. But why were unions created years and years back? so that people were treated right. I'm saying today that it needs to start with us. You have your rights today. You have the right to do right. Is that a choice? Sure it is. I can choose whether I want to do right or not. I can choose what I want to do. But the right to do right comes from God. And it's in your heart. And it should guide your life. And that obedience is a gift from God so that we might someday see righteousness. Aren't you glad that there is a day coming when you'll no longer make mistakes? When you'll no longer say the wrong thing? When you'll no longer do the wrong thing? There is a day coming. But God has given us that tool, that gift, to use as we prepare for that day, and that's the gift to do what's right in obedience to God. And that's between you and God. I can't tell you what's right because I don't know what God has told you to do. Paul says, I go to preach to the Gentiles because God has told me. We were studying this morning. Paul went to preach to the Gentiles. But when Timothy and Silas showed up, he quit preaching to the Gentiles and he started preaching to the Jews. Because he didn't want conflict with Timothy and Silas in their young walk as Christians. So he said, all right, I'm going to quit preaching for the Gentiles for a while and I'm going to just preach to the Jews. So Timothy and Silas can spend time with me because if I'm preaching to the Gentiles, they're going to be in a battle. See, Paul gave up what he was intending to do because it was the right thing for Timothy and Silas, because God led him to do that. And after a short while, he said, this isn't working. And he left preaching to the Jews altogether and went to the Gentiles. Did the Jews think that was what was right? Did other Christians think that was what was right? Peter didn't think for a while that was right, did he? Peter did not like the fact that Paul was out there preaching to the Gentiles. Peter didn't like that. He didn't support that. I'm sure he stood up there more than once and said about it. You know? Look, there's Paul over there. What's he doing? See, this is what I want you to understand. The right to do right is between you and God. Okay? God leads you on a certain path. Not all paths go the same direction. They all lead to the same point if you follow God's path, and that's heaven. One day we'll get to be with God in His home. But not all paths go the same direction. You know? If I told you how to get to my home, I could tell you how to get there using 14 different sets of directions. They'd all get you to my house, but they don't all go the same way. God doesn't lead every one of us on the exact same path. So we have to obey what He wants us to do in order to truly have freedom. When God says, this is the direction I want you to go, you go. When God says, this is where I don't want you to go, you don't go. When God says, this is who I want you to talk to, you talk to them. If God says, no... Wait a minute, you mean there's some people I shouldn't share the gospel with? What did Paul say? He was being compelled to go one direction. He said, nah, God wants me over here. Well, wait, they need you over. No, God wants me here. I'm not going over there to preach the gospel because God wants me over here. You know what? I'll bet you every one of you have had a chance to witness to somebody that I've never met. Right? And I've had a chance to witness to some people that you've never met. That's because our paths are in the way that God leads us. And when we follow that and we do what's right, then we truly have freedom.